Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Podcasts. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Graham here at the start of another week. Well, over these past few weeks, we've been working our way through the Gospels. We started in the book of Matthew in week one, and last week we were looking at passages from Mark. And so, yeah, it doesn't take a genius to work out, those who know the order of the Bibles, that this week we're focusing on the Gospel of Luke. Luke is certainly one of my favourite Gospel writers, if not my favourite of all. And some of the things that he is most known for is his emphasis on prayer, his emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and the prominence and place that he gives to women and children within his gospel. And it's for that reason that this week I will be the only adult male coming and bringing a podcast. But in line with the very spirit of Luke, the rest of our podcast this week will be coming from women and young folk. The passage I've chosen for today is right at the end of Luke, or more or less the very end of Luke. Luke chapter 23. And it's the story of the crucifixion, and we'll take up the story at verse 32. This is what it says. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to a cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too, while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's so fitting for Luke to bring in this conversation between Jesus and this thief on the cross. Luke, who throughout his book has been emphasizing the grace and the mercy and the kindness of Jesus, the one who brings us such stories as the prodigal son, the one who brings us such stories as Zacchaeus, that little tax collector, hated and loathed by his community, and yet Jesus comes and positions himself with Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, come down," he says, "for today I'm coming to your house." And here, even at his death, it would seem that it's almost as if Jesus is positioning himself beside the two criminals on the cross. On one side, we have the crowds, the ordinary people, the public, those who think that they themselves are virtuous and pouring out their wrath and their hatred and their vengeance against those who have been deemed to have broken the law, who have disturbed the peace of the community, who have even offended against and hurt other people and created victims amongst them. Maybe they're justified in their anger and their rage as these two criminals are being punished for what they have done. And there's the religious people, the religious leaders, those who in particular sought for Jesus' own crucifixion, standing, hurling their own abuse and watching from afar with smug, satisfied looks upon their faces. And there's the Roman political powers. Elsewhere in the Bible, it can seem that God ordains power. And here are the Romans carrying out their authority, carrying out their laws, putting the death penalty upon those who have been deemed to have broken the law. All these people in the crowd, and here is Jesus positioned in the middle of two offenders who they themselves are also receiving all the crowd's hatreds and words and mockery. Jesus takes his position alongside those who are most rejected. And this is a story of contrast, isn't it? It's a story of contrast because the picture looks one way. If somebody was just to have arrived on this scene, their understanding of what was going on would have been completely different to what was really happening. For Jesus himself was no criminal, but he was someone who had done nothing wrong. He was the crowd shouting their abuse and hurling their hatred at these men on the cross. And the contrast of Jesus standing and just saying, or hanging there rather, and saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The contrast between the soldiers who are shouting to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, if you are the Messiah, save yourself," without realizing that what Jesus was actually doing in not saving himself was opening up the possibility of salvation to us and to the very people who were hanging him there. A story of contrast because while it looked as if God's displeasure were on the three figures hanging forsakenly on the cross, God's favour was actually upon them. God's love was turned towards them. And isn't it ironic that the only person that really seemed to truly understand what was happening here beyond Jesus was one of the men hanging in agony beside him, who recognised that this was no ordinary criminal hanging by his side, and so comes out with these words, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." He could see in Jesus something that many, many others failed to even see. He truly saw what was happening. And so this is a story as well where sometimes we want to reduce it to being almost like a deathbed confession. And we cling on to it as being a story of hope that even people who are in their deathbeds may cry out to Jesus and be saved. That's really to miss the point of what's going on here. For this is the story of Jesus and where he positions himself. And this is a story about Jesus opening wide his gates of grace and mercy to whoever comes, to whoever asks, and whenever they ask. There was no time for this thief on the cross to go and repent. There was no time for him to change his life. There was no time for him to somehow bring to the table something he could offer. He just came as he was. And Jesus welcomes him without question, without hesitation, without penance. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And so at the start of this week, let us remind ourselves that Jesus positions himself amongst those who are disregarded, amongst those who have nothing to offer, amongst those whose lives are so often a mess, amongst those whose lives are broken, amongst those whose lives are full of sin, amongst those who outwardly the world would reject and dismiss and ignore. He positions himself in the midst of them. And while the rest of the world might still bay their hatred and throw out their accusations and point all the fingers, Jesus comes like he did with Zacchaeus, like he did with this thief on the cross, and positions himself. I am on the side of the downtrodden. I am on the side of the sinner. I am on the side of those who need a doctor. I'm on the side of those who require mercy and grace and who know they have nothing to barter with or to offer in return. Where do you position yourself? In society, who are the people that you say, I am like these people? Or more importantly, do we recognize that Jesus positions himself with us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our pain, in our addictions, in our struggles? He's never the one who points the finger to accuse. He's never the one to come and condemn. He's the one who flings wide his gates of mercy and forgiveness and love and healing to whoever comes and asks him, that we might too be with him in paradise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, teach us again about how much you love and how wide your mercy is and how overwhelming is your grace, your unmerited favor, the gift that we receive that we can never buy, we can never pay you back for, we can never deserve. But Lord, the more we don't deserve it, the further so often we have fallen, the more abundantly you pour your grace upon us. And so as Paul says, Lord, where sin abounds, your grace superabounds. So Lord, come to us today, whatever shape our lives are in, whatever health our souls are in, and help us to remember the one who didn't come to judge or condescend, didn't come to condemn or reject, but takes his stand amongst us and says, I am for you, not against you. I am with you. Lord, maybe just come to you like this thief on the cross with nothing to offer except our plea for help. Jesus, help us, save us, forgive us. And maybe hear your words to us. Today, yes, today, you can be with me by my Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.